Time to catch the beat for Market Street on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Your community radio station is in the heart of the action in downtown Champaign, and Catch the Beat brings highlights of local news, arts, culture, and issues to pay attention to. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop is at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at Jane Addams, that's ADDAMS books.com. As always on WEFT, the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Inc., Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. I am pleased to welcome Matthew Fletcher, Interim Executive Director of Courage Connection, with information about special programming in the month of February that recognizes Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. To start, Matthew, tell us about Courage Connection and how it came to be what it is today. It has a long history in this community, going back to 1971, growing out of a number of other groups that came together to address the needs of women facing domestic violence and homelessness. So what are the services that Courage Connection provides, and a little bit about its history?
What a great question. And first, I want to say thank you for having me here today, Cope. I'm really excited to talk with you. So Courage Connection's history started back in 1971. At that time, it was called A Women's Place. And just to provide some historical context, back in 1971, domestic violence, it wasn't criminalized whatsoever. So that's important to understand, because then you realize a grassroots group of community members who were concerned about the issue of violence against women took it upon themselves to band together and start a domestic violence shelter right here in Champaign County. Now, this is consequential for a lot of reasons, but one of the big ones is this was the first shelter of its kind in the state of Illinois, one of the first in the entire nation. And it was born out of a dire need to address this issue. And over the years, it would take maybe 13 years until the state of Illinois criminalized domestic violence at a state level. And then the Violence Against Women Act, that wasn't codified into law at the national level until 1994. So we're talking several decades ahead of its time. The community stepped up and started supporting survivors. Now, over the subsequent decades after 1971, Courage Connection took on a lot of different shapes to address that need. Today, we are a full-service, comprehensive domestic violence prevention program. How I like to conceptualize that to people is we try to be with survivors every step of their journey, from when they're actively fleeing their abuser all the way to the other end of the spectrum, where they have built for themselves a safe, stable, and self-sufficient future. Now, how do we do that? We do that with a number of very intentional trauma-informed services. First off, I should say, all of our staff are certified domestic violence professionals, and that trauma-informed care, coupled with the subject matter expertise, it allows us to provide these sensitive services. And the number one word, or the key phrase to keep in mind when we talk about our services, is that they are survivor-led. We are not telling people what they need to do. We're not oracles that should be dictating anyone's life. If you put yourself in the position of a survivor, having spent significant amounts of time having their power and control taken away by the abuser, we don't want to recreate that cycle of abuse by not giving them the power that they have. That power lies within them, and we simply act as a tool to empower them. We empower them through education, support, and resources. And that is really what underpins the philosophy for all of our services. Now, to touch on all the services that we offer right now at Courage Connection, I want to start by talking about our 24/7 emergency domestic violence hotline. That hotline, it's staffed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year by domestic violence professionals. And it also operates as the front door to access all other services for Courage Connection. So we ask community members if they or someone they love are experiencing domestic violence, give us a call on that hotline. Our trained staff are going to talk with you, but most importantly, we're going to sit there and listen. We're going to listen empathetically to your story. While we're listening, we're going to be trying to pinpoint or ascertain what your needs are, because when you're going through domestic violence, unfortunately, there are all sorts of other subsequent harms that you're also trying to address outside of the emergency of shelter. So when people call into that hotline, if they are in need of a place to go, and by that I mean they're actively trying to flee their abuser, sometimes that abuser is even pursuing them at that point, well, then we operate an emergency shelter. That emergency shelter, it has 10 bedrooms in it, and we have the ability to put multiple bunk beds in there so we can house several people over there. And the duration of stay over at the emergency shelter is right around 45 days. Now, contingent upon you extending that stay at the emergency shelter, it's really your choice. How much do you want to engage in the program and the other services? A big thing that we have experienced in the last couple of years, actually, we have expanded our capacity to serve the community by more than doubling the bedrooms that we have. So we have the 10 bedrooms at the emergency shelter. And as of February 2024, we purchased an additional facility, which now is our transitional living facility. That facility has 12 more bedrooms. So we've more than doubled the amount of bedrooms that we had. And the idea behind the transitional living facility is we want to give survivors more time to really work out whatever steps they need to go through so that they can get to that end of the spectrum where they're living a self-sustaining lifestyle and it's completely safe. We do that at the transitional living facility, and we allow clients to stay up with us now for up to 2 years. So that greatly increases the time in which we can provide case management to our clients, and it gives them more time to work through issues like, once again, putting yourself in a position of a survivor. If you had to actively flee your abuser, there's a chance that you didn't bring all of your sensitive documents with you, your driver's license, your birth certificate. That makes it exceedingly hard to access resources around our wonderful community. It makes it hard to get a job. So we have time that we can work with our clients to obtain all of the documentation that they need. A lot of the time, survivors, they may not have necessarily any work history or work experience. Well, through case management, we can help them by pointing out different workforce development programs that are operating here in town. There's a phenomenal program over at Parkland College that provides that sort of training.
And the YWCA, I interviewed a few people who were involved in their program.
Exactly. And this is a common theme with Courage Connection. We're always taken aback and really, really grateful to be in this community, because this community has a social safety net and social service organizations that really are doing the work. And they are doing it from a standpoint of collaborative care, where different agencies, we can access their programs and get our clients the services that they need. Having that transitional living facility, it greatly increases the success of clients then accessing permanent affordable housing. So those two shelters and the hotline, those are some of our most well-known services that we offer. We also at Courage Connection offer domestic violence trauma-informed counseling. Now, this is a solutions-focused short-term counseling program that is led by two licensed clinical social workers that really work to unpack all of the different forms of latent trauma that one would go through if they were suffering abuse. And they also do everything from building out safety plans for that individual, taking them through lethality assessments, which is a really difficult conversation. But as domestic violence professionals in a survivor-led organization, we feel that it's our duty to at least share the information that we have learned working in this data-driven field. For instance, one of the things that we know to be true when it comes to fatality, if a person has been strangled, if there's strangulation involved in your history of abuse, well, our counselors may then, after that's disclosed to them, they may tell our client, "What you just told me is concerning." It's because what we know is there is no point of escalation past being strangled other than fatality. And I feel that is my job to inform you. That's one of the things we know from working in this industry. So I want you to have that information. The services and the conversations that they provide on an individual or group-based counseling system, they're so very, very important to the healing process of survivors. We also offer legal services at Courage Connection. Our court advocates, they're at the Champaign County Courthouse Monday through Friday, helping people fill out orders of protection in the morning and going and being with them and advocating for them if they have a hearing or if they have any sort of trial. So I want to be clear, we don't practice law, nor do we give legal advice. We're very blessed to have a close partnership with Land of Lincoln Legal Aid here in town, and they do all of the legal work for us. We provide advocacy and support by helping people fill out those orders of protection, the emergency order of protection, and the plenary order of protection. And then, as our tagline says, we make sure that they're not alone. We want to be there with them through their legal proceedings at the hearings. Another very key and important service that we provide at Courage Connection comes through our housing and stabilization services. Our housing coordinator meets regularly with all of our clients. If someone's coming into shelter, they're meeting with our housing coordinator within the first 3 days of their stay. And we're going to talk to them about what their needs are with housing. We know that they have left where they were coming from to come live at Courage Connection. We want to try to help them access that affordable permanent housing. How we do that? We utilize the breadth of services that are already available in this town. The Regional Planning Commission, Cunningham Township, See You at Home, and the list goes on and on. There are incredible programs that are being run in this community. Our advocate's job is to empower survivors with whatever they need to access that. If there are documentation requirements, if there are income requirements, we help them develop a plan so that they can reach that end goal of finding housing. Finally, we offer prevention outreach. That's kind of where I got my start at Courage Connection, is going out into the community and having conversations, and once again, listening to the people in the community to really assess what their needs are. And then we provide age-appropriate education material that speaks to the realities of what is domestic violence, what is teen dating violence, what are the most common forms of abuse when we think about violence, and what are the more subtle forms of abuse that we may not even consider to be domestic violence. All of that happens through our outreach program, and we pride ourselves at being good community partners, showing up at every single event, building the relationships with the other advocates from other organizations, and meeting as many community members as we can to spread awareness of our services. That all encompasses our Comprehensive Domestic Violence Prevention Agency. And we are still keeping our eye on the future. As a data-driven agency, the best practices and the lessons learned, as you might imagine, they change. And we want to change with the times as well. So if and when there is a scenario in which we need to increase our capacity to serve or increase the scope of our services, we're ready, willing, and able to do it. We can very easily get caught in the dominant discourse of domestic violence, the perpetrators of harm are men, and the survivors are women. However, it's very important for me to articulate domestic violence cuts across all demographic categories. It doesn't matter what walk of life, what gender, what race, what sexual orientation. It affects us all. It's underpinned, in my opinion, by a misogynistic perspective and hierarchical perspective on society. But that has contributed to a level of violence that touches everyone. So our services, they're offered to the entire community, regardless of race or gender, wherever you come from. If you are a survivor of domestic violence, we want to help.
How much need is there more than you are able to help with the beds you have available and the staff you have available?
It's a really, really good question. It's an important one to answer clearly because the need, unfortunately, is and probably will continue to be far greater than what we can provide as a single agency. And I want to really elucidate that point by using two specific examples. If you ask someone from any police department in town, what do you think the biggest issue is in our area? Nine times out of ten, they're going to tell you domestic violence. Officers are in this position where they recognize that not only is domestic violence the most frequent call that they're receiving on their emergency calls, but it's also the most dangerous and lethal. So it's a very, very profound problem that we are trying to address. The other example that I want to talk about, just last week, we launched a new initiative for legal services in partnership with the Illinois Coalition Against Domestic Violence. We're now going to be holding regular help desk hours every single month to give survivors free legal consultations and also, if they're in need of it, free representation. Now, this isn't just contained to legal matters revolving around domestic violence. These are all legal matters for a survivor. As you can imagine, if you're in a household with children and there's abuse present, sometimes that can be considered as child endangerment or neglect. And so, subsequently, a lot of survivors are dealing with custody issues. A lot of survivors have cases or appeals with the Department of Children and Family Services. Even with our historic partnership with Land O'Lincoln Legal Aid, who is working tirelessly on this issue, and with the addition of the state's authorities on domestic violence coming from the Illinois Coalition Against Domestic Violence, even with those two powerful institutions, there are still going to be hundreds, if not thousands, of unmet legal needs for survivors. So I say all that to say, the need probably will continue to be greater than our capacity to serve. However, we continue forward unabated, trying to increase that capacity in every single responsible way that we can. We have to think strategically and we have to operate collaboratively.
Let's talk about your particular February programs that recognize Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month.
February is a very important month for us. As you said, it's Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. And as domestic violence professionals, we're well aware of the cycle of violence and the cycle of abuse. When domestic violence happens, and we have this stigma that If someone is experiencing domestic violence, that's something that is best left between those four walls and doesn't really come out into the community. And it wouldn't be proper for us as community members to talk about it. That's actually the inverse of what we see. Domestic violence is one of the top public health concerns in our nation. And with that understanding of it, it very quickly becomes clear if your child who was raised in a household where this behavior is present, and it is as prevalent as we say that it is, you may normalize some of that behavior. And you may think this is the way that love is expressed to someone. This is how a relationship should be. And that could work whether you're a victim or a harm perpetrator. You start to normalize and rationalize this is the way that it is. And we see that coming through with some of the acceptance of unhealthy relationships with our teenagers. So, this month for February, Courage Connection is very proud to announce that we have a whole host of new initiatives that are launching so that we can have conversations, so that we can listen to teenagers, so that we can bring concerned community members together to really build our proficiency of what is this problem and how does it correlate to larger issues of youth violence? Because one of the things that we know being domestic violence professionals is intersectionality matters. All of these societal harms, they have their intersections together. And it kind of creates a framework where you need a systems analysis to really understand how this harm is being able to be perpetrated and continue on. But right there with domestic violence is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. So, with as important as this month is, we want to spread as much prevention awareness as we possibly can. Starting today, on Mondays and Fridays for the entire month of February, Courage Connection advocates will be at Centennial High School during all of their lunch hours to table and speak with students, to offer them surveys, to play games with them, to enlist their help in building a playlist all around healthy love and healthy relationships to build a consistent presence in their life. Now, this is something that, with the help of Principal Sarah Sanders, last year we were able to spearhead this initiative, and it just felt right to do it again because we had such a good impact in the students' lives, and we want to stay there. On top of that, on February 9th, which is a Monday, Courage Connection will be partnering with Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, and we're going to be attending National African American Parent Involvement Day over at Centennial High School. We're going to be having conversations and we're going to be giving out resources to the parents and the students that are there. And once again, we want to be positioned as a constant presence in their life. So we're very, very fortunate and grateful that we have this opportunity to go and be there. One of the things that I'm really excited to do is on February 11th, I'm going to be going to give a presentation to the Champaign County Community Coalition meeting that's happening. And I'm going to give a brief presentation on Courage Connection Services and domestic violence key concepts. But I'm going to keep it brief because I really want to open it up to the audience of all these dedicated social service members and organizations to field their questions, to find ways in which maybe Courage Connection has fallen short as a community partner in the past, to find ways in which we could collaborate together in a more impactful way to address some of these issues. All of this culminates in our signature event, which is taking place on February 25th. This event is called Breaking the Cycle. It's a discussion bringing together students, families, teachers, advocates, people that are affected by youth violence, and other community members to really examine the impact on all youth violence. We all have our specialties and we have to stay in our lanes. So we're putting together a panel of people in the community that are doing this work on a daily basis, who are seeing the effects of trauma, who are seeing the effects of gun violence, all of that. And it's going to be an excellent opportunity for the community to come and have their voices heard, to really see the type of work that is already happening in the community and help us fill the gap by saying, well, these are some of the top priorities that we see in our neighborhoods. And it's just a starting point. But starting that conversation is going to be really important for us actually having an impact in the community.
Matthew, you come to this work with a rather particular set of experiences and interests. Tell us a little bit about how you came to this community and to Courage Connection.
One of the underlying themes of my entire life, since I was very, very young, has been being of service to others. So that continued on well past my undergraduate when I received my degree in political science at Indiana University. After I graduated, I took the opportunity to join AmeriCorps, and that sent me over to Utah, all the way out in the Rocky Mountains, where I was working for a year at the YMCAs of Northern Utah. I spent a lot of time at after school programs. I was a camp counselor for a month up at a summer camp in the Wasatch Mountains, working directly with clients and seeing their progress over an extended period of time. It was foundational to my career. When I finished my year of service with AmeriCorps, I eventually landed around 2017 in Washington, D.C. And I was working for organizations like Democracy Partners. I was working for the Poor People's Campaign, National Call for Moral Revival. That was actually the last campaign that Dr. King was working on and what brought him down to Memphis. As prescient as it was in 1968, it's never been more important that we start having conversations about how to organize ourselves as community members. Somewhere along the way, I met my wonderful wife. And on her career trajectory, it took us to some other places around the country. And it eventually led us right here to Champaign-Urbana, where when she took a job as a faculty member at the University of Illinois.
And I would say we are very fortunate in this community to have your experience, your dedication, and your determination. Tell me if there's anything more you'd like to touch on before we close.
I just really want to make sure that everyone recognizes they're not alone. There's a lot of stigma that comes with domestic violence, and it becomes very easy for you to try to carry the weight of it all by yourself. If you or someone you love is experiencing domestic violence or teen dating violence, please call our 24/7 emergency hotline at 217-384-4390. And remember, you are not alone.
That wraps up our time for this week's Catch the Beat. With my thanks to Matthew Fletcher, Interim Director of Courage Connection, for bringing vital awareness of the dangers of dating violence for teens and the programs being offered during the month of February around this issue. You can contact Matthew and Courage Connection through their website, courageconnection.org, and their 24-hour hotline. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages, featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at janeadamsbooks.com. You're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming on weft.org. All episodes of Catch the Beat are archived on the WEFT website at weft.org under Public Affairs. You can also listen to live stream and archive shows on the WEFT app, available on your favorite app store. With thanks to Creative Commons for intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod, see you next time.